When was the last time that you can really say that you felt that joy unspeakable? I'm talking to the children of God right now. Aunt Carolyn, I want to know, when was the last time that you can say, Lord, this is a joy that is unspeakable and it is full of glory? David, the psalmist, was going through a really hard time. He lost his child and he was grieving. And part of the prayer that he put up before the Lord was, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We may jump around several spots, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What was on my heart about that particular verse, Uncle Lonnie, is for the children of God, for us, those of us who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have the right to expect the Lord to let us feel that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have known people in my life, children of God, that have lost loved ones. And after they lost that loved one, they felt it was their obligation to mourn that loved one for years. And I watched as the joy that they could have experienced was literally sucked out of them. Because they chose to stay in a place of mourning instead of in a place of joy. Lord, let me talk in this scripture a little earlier this week, but I'm going to refresh it with you again over in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Uncle Lonnie, there is a spirit of heaviness that can come along. And if we allow it to take up with us, it will rob us of our joy. And it will rob us of being able to be a light to those that are around us. I'm going to be real plain. We are in a spiritual warfare. And there has been more than one child of God that has been here this week that has left and told me there is sorrow here. I hadn't felt the joy of the Lord the way I want to feel it, Uncle Lonnie. There is a spirit of heaviness that is hovering down over this place. There is a reason that my father-in-law talked what he talked about when he mentioned he moved into that house and there was something in that basement that just wasn't right.
God blessing you.
I'm telling you, I know how I feel, and it's been confirmed by multiple men of God that have come up here, Uncle Lonnie. There is a spirit of heaviness that in the name of the Lord, I'm going to rebuke right now. Thank God. I want to rebuke it. And I want you, if you're holding on to it, to turn loose of it, glory to God, and to let it go. Don't take up with it again. The time for mourning for the children of God is over for now. The time of mourning has passed, Aunt Violet. It is time, glory to God, for us to rejoice in the joy of the salvation that the Lord has sent to us. And I'm calling it out. I'm saying, Lord, this house, this physical building is your house. This is the house of the Lord. If you are in, if you are a child of God, Uncle Lonnie, you are in your father's house. This is your daddy's house, and you don't have to be mournful here in your daddy's house. You can come in here and be comfortable and praise the good Lord for his goodness to us. But if you are not a child of God, he says this is the house of prayer for all men. You don't have to be a child of God to come into the house of the Lord. We want everybody that's out there in the world, no matter how far out in sin they are, we want them here in this house of the Lord. And Aunt Carolyn, what is going to draw them in is that love and that joy and the peace of God that the children of God feel. Children of God, the time of mourning has passed. It is time to rejoice in the joy, glory to God, in the joy of our salvation. If you believe that and you want to cast down that garment of heaviness, did you hear what he said right here? Glory to God. Give unto them beauty for ashes. So listen, what happens when a person is in mourning over and over in the Word of God? They put themselves in a physical outward appearance of mourning. They put on sackcloth. They take off the pretty garments that they have and they're showing people, I'm sad right now. And they put on that garment of mourning. And they don't anoint their heads with oil, but they put ashes on them. And they sit in sackcloth and ashes and they let people know, I am sad. Children of God, it is time. It is high time to get past the spirit of mourning and to get to the place of joy, glory to God, before the Lord today. Thank God. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty. Or another place it says a beautiful crown or headdress for the ashes that they had put on them. The oil of joy for mourning. And that oil, when it comes out, it just flows. And there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, that testified this week about when that Holy Ghost came into them. They felt it And it just felt like it just filled them up from the top down. And it just poured into them. The Word of God teaches that when the Holy Ghost comes, He will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. And when it pours, it comes down like that oil of joy that takes away that sorrow. Thank God. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That spirit of heaviness, sister, when we are ready to cast that garment off that we have on that has been telling people, I am in mourning, we can cast it off. And the Lord says what we put on then is a garment of praise. Children of God, are you ready to praise the Lord? No longer to be in mourning, no longer to be sad. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. No longer to let that spirit of heaviness bind you down, but to be thankful to the Lord for all of His goodness. I want you to stand up and praise Him today. Right there where you are, if you're ready. Don't stand up if you want to hold on to that spirit of heaviness. If you choose to continue to hold on to it, don't stand up, because what I'm doing is I'm rebuking that spirit that I know, glory to God, is here today. I have spent time fasting and praying and begging the Lord. He said sometimes these things come out only by fasting and praying. And I've spent my time, sister, fasting and praying before the Lord. And I'm not bragging, but I know when the power of the Lord is on me. And if you want freedom, children of God, over this spirit and not allow it in this service anymore, I want you to stand up and glorify God right now. Glorify Him. Praise Him for what it is. Woo! Glory to God. Thank God. I want you to glorify Him. Don't just say, glorify Him. How did you glorify Him when He gave you the Holy Ghost? What did you do when He glorified you? You praised Him with all that you had. And we are claiming this house in the name of the Lord. Thank God. And that spirit of mourning, that spirit of heaviness is no longer allowed in this house. Glory to God. Thank God. How I love the Lord today. I love Him, Uncle Lonnie. Thank you, Lord. There is power in the love of God and in the joy of God. And that spirit of mourning is only for a season. He says, joy cometh in the morning. And it is time, high time, for us to realize the joy of the Lord and quit staying in that spirit of heaviness. Now, to those that don't have the Holy Ghost, children of God, thank you. You can sit down. I want to talk to those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost just a second. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need a spirit of mourning. If you are running around and enjoying the life that God has blessed you with, and you're not worried about your soul, Lord, that would put a fear on me. That God is not allowing you to be sad and sorrowful about the life that you're living. I want to talk to you just a little bit out of the book of Jonah. And first, the first verse is a verse of encouragement to those that are lost. Chapter 2, verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Those of you that need the Holy Ghost, mercy and forgiveness is not your problem. It's here for you. It is a promise of God that it is here for you no matter what it is that's out there in your past. Doesn't matter what it is. Other than blaspheming the Holy Ghost, mercy and forgiveness is here for you today. And he says that those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you believe that mercy is not here for you, it is because you are listening to the voice of the devil that is telling you lies, that is lying to you today, and you are observing that lying vanity instead of rejoicing in the mercy that God has for you. Over in Matthew, I'm not going to flip there, but I'm just going to tell you, the Word of God, Jesus lets us know. So we know to receive the Holy Ghost, you have to repent and believe. That's the basics. That's the simplicity of this matter. Jesus lets us know in Matthew that God recognized what the people of the city of Nineveh did as repentance. He recognized that. So that is our pattern, Uncle Lonnie, to look back to and say, Lord, have I repented? Because I'm telling you, by the Word of God, if you have not received the Holy Ghost, it is because you simply have not repented. That's the plain and simple truth of it. You will not have repented and then gone back into sin. When you repent, you turn from that sin, never to go back to that sin again. So a repentance is something that you completely turn from the ways that you were following. And if you have not received the Holy Ghost, it is because you have yet to repent. And it is possibly that you have in you an evil heart of unbelief. It could just be you could be living as close or better than other children of God than you think other children of God live. Be careful thinking that way, because that'll get you in a lot of trouble. But you may be living just as good as you know how to live. But it could just simply be that evil heart of unbelief, that lack of faith that is keeping you from repenting before the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8 words. Lord, I have spoken probably maybe 800 words since I've been up here. Jonah spoke 8 words under the anointing of the Lord. That was the entire message. And I want you to hear what the children of Nineveh did. So the people of Nineveh, first they believed God. Remember, these are all the steps that God recognized these steps as repentance. So faith in the Lord is encompassed in that term repentance. First, they had to hear the word of God by a man of God, and he didn't even preach near as many words as I've been saying, but they believed that word. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So if you have, I believe that you have not received the Holy Ghost by the word of God because you have not yet repented. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe the word of God. If you don't believe that you have not repented, then you have in you an evil heart of unbelief right now. But what the children of Nineveh did as a part of their example of repentance, and Uncle Lonnie, this isn't my sermon. I didn't come up with this. This is something that Brother Melvin taught me years and years ago, and I wrote down the notes in my Bible back when he was preaching this. And if I remember right, I think he learned it from Brother Alf. And who knows where Brother Alf learned it from. So if you're looking for something that's new and different, you're not going to get it from me. I'm going to give you just what's coming from the Word of God. The children of Nineveh heard the Word and they believed the Word. So I want you to ask yourself while you're sitting here, do you really believe the words that are coming to you from this Word of God? Do you really believe it? Lord, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to believe every word that is in your word of God because it is the only source of truth for my life. Lord, I want to believe every single word. And if you're having trouble believing it, tell him. Confess that fault to him. They heard the word and they believed. They also turned from the evil that was at their hand, the wickedness, the sin that they were committing. That is a major part of repentance, is to, if you're walking this way down the road of sin and God lets you know that you are walking in the road of sin, repentance is to turn the complete opposite direction and start walking to the Lord and away from that sin that is in your life. Then they humbled themselves. They cast down their pride from the king, from the most prideful one among all of them, the king, all the way down to the lowest person. The king said, proclaim a fast. And every single one of you, I want you to get in sackcloth and ashes, and I want you to mourn before the Lord. After we receive the Holy Ghost is the time that we put off that sackcloth and ashes. But before you receive the Holy Ghost, you need to spend time. If you're not feeling the power of the Lord the way you want to feel it when you're down here in this altar, spend time mourning before the Lord. Spend time fasting before the Lord. Even those that don't have the Holy Ghost can fast and pray before the Lord. Spend time humbling yourself down before the Lord because he's not hearing your prayer right now. Humble themselves, cast down their pride. They fasted. And one of the final things that they did, and Jenna touched on this the other night, she said that pretty much every man of God that has been up here this week has said this of some form or fashion, but they cried mightily unto the Lord. This altar is too quiet. It is too quiet, Uncle Lonnie. You are lost. Brother Tim would explain it like you are in a building that is burning to the ground. You alone in this building, and that building is completely on fire. But there is a fireman right outside there, like what Mr. Danny used to be. There's a fireman that is standing out there, but he doesn't know that you're in that burning building and you're doing everything you can to get his attention. Hey, I'm over here. When you're down here praying to the Lord, part of casting down your own pride is being willing to cry out mightily unto the Lord. Because it is embarrassing to us sometimes to put ourselves on the altar and to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and cry out mightily to the Lord. It is pride that is keeping you from being able to lift that voice up to the Lord, and you've got to cast down that pride and turn it all over to the Lord in full repentance. I believe that's all he has for me today, Uncle Lonnie. I appreciate everybody. And I want to say something especially to the young people. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord sent some instruction the other day, and I want to thank you for being obedient to that instruction. It's that same type of obedience. The Word of God teaches us that He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. It's that same type of obedience that you will need to have to be willing to receive the Holy Ghost. You have to be willing to obey, not me, not some man, but be willing to obey what the Word of God says. Because there is going to come a time, Brother Langston, when what the Word of God tells us to do is not what we want to do. It happens for every single one of us, Sister Audrey. Even after we receive the Holy Ghost, there will be things in our life that we may want to do, but a man of God ordained by God comes up and he says, with the Word of God, don't do this. You may not even understand why he's saying, don't do this. Somebody compared it to a general and the soldiers under the general the other day. And I thought that wasn't too bad of an example. But there are times that the general, he has a different security clearance. And he is privy to more information than the rest of the soldiers. There is more information that that general has knowledge of. And sister, the Word of God tells us that with much knowledge comes much sorrow sometimes. There are things that some of the men of God that are overseers of the flock have knowledge of that the rest of the sheep don't need to have that knowledge right now, because it will bring way too much sorrow and grief on them to have to bear that burden. But there are times where that person that is in charge has a little more information than what the rest of the sheep do. And I heard a man talk one time about submission. He said, submission is not submission until it's something that I don't want to do. As long as I want to do what it is they're telling me to do, I can agree with them all day long and go along with them and say, yeah, I agree with that. Amen. That's great. Let's do that. But let it be something that I disagree with. That natural man wants to rise up within me and say, I want to do it this way. But there are times that the man of God that is in charge, that has been placed to oversee that flock of sheep, has more information about the matter than you do. And he does a particular thing or tells you not to do something backed up by the Word of God. He lets you know not to do it. And our job as sheep is to be submissive to that as long as it is not against the Word of God. That's why it's important for every single one of us to know the Word of God and to dive into that Word of God and know what does the Bible teach us about a certain thing. And if you have questions, ask the questions. That's okay. I'm not saying don't ask questions. You need to ask questions and so that you can learn. But there are times where we just have to be submissive to what it is the Lord has put on us, even if we don't understand why we've been told to do something. And if we go above that, Uncle Lonnie, we're not disobeying the person who gave the instruction. I want to make this very, very clear. All the person that gave the instruction is doing is following what the Lord told them to do. So by disobeying that person that is over you in the Lord, you are saying, Lord, I do not trust that what you're telling me is true. And that you have placed people over me that are in authority over me, and it's my job to be submissive to them. And no matter, even if I don't understand it, you are telling the Lord, Lord, I do not trust you. I don't know how to be any more plain about that. Submit yourself to the Lord. Lord, I didn't even mean to get on that. That wasn't what I had on my heart when I got up here. And to be honest, I don't even know how to wrap it up now. I'm not sure how to close this out, Thomas. I'm not sure what the direction is that he wants me to go, but I know. Lord, I know that I love you. Every single person in this house, Sister Sheila, I love you. I love every single one of you. And I love my children so much that I will give them correction even to the point of it hurting me. And I'm going to be, as the Lord allows me, just as honest with you as I possibly can. And I pray that's what I've done and what I've been with you. I want you to know that I love you. And I don't do these things to put a thumb down on you. I'm not trying to say, listen to me, listen to me. I'm doing it because I love you. And because without the correcting of the Lord, he says that we are bastards and not sons. I don't want to be a fatherless child. I don't. Lord, my father that's up in heaven, we lose our natural fathers down here. Lord, it's sad. It's sad. It is sad. But I've always got my spiritual father. As long as I'm willing to be obedient to him, sister. As long as I'm willing to do what it is he tells me to do. And that correction comes every now and then and says, children, gather in. Gather in just a little bit closer. You're scattered out there a little too far. You're sitting out there over by yourself. Gather in just a little closer. There's a reason the children of God need to be together, and those that are seeking the Lord need to be right there with him, because I promise you there is a wolf that is at the door. He is at the door right now, and he is standing out there, and he is waiting to devour. And who he picks off, Uncle Lonnie, are those that separate themselves away from the flock. That's who he targets and tries to pick them off one by one. So get close to the children of God. Stay close to the children of God. Stay in this church. Stay with the leadership, and stay with the Word of God. And I still have faith that the Lord can give the Holy Ghost even this morning. So much that a day or two ago I went and bought water shoes so that I can step out in the water. But I believe. Do you believe? Do you? You that do not have the Holy Ghost, do you believe that? That God can give me the Holy Ghost? Do you really believe that? I want that faith to set up in your heart. And if you're struggling with it, be like that man that said, Lord, I believe. And in the same breath, he said, help my unbelief. He was honest with the Lord. If you're struggling with that, tell him. Say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me. Whatever it is that's keeping me away from you, whatever it is that you're unpleased with in my life, help me that I could turn it over to you and that I could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brethren, I'm going to get out of the way. I love you, and I thank you all. I thank you for the love that I feel like y'all have for me. And I pray that you know the love that I have for you.